Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Hey, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Friday at last edition of It's Your Turn. Has it been a long week for you? I was telling people this morning, the first part of the week seemed to buzz by, but last couple of days slowed down a little bit. Is it the heat? I don't know. No, we don't want to complain about that, though. Beautiful weather. Hey, good show today. We have several guests, and we're going to be talking about the Butler County Historical Society in just a second here, and a little bit of history on the second portion of our program today, too. We're going to be talking with Tyler Gumm. Gumm is the director of the Pennsylvania Military Museum. I didn't even know Pennsylvania had a military museum until not too long ago. It's in Bowlesburg, which is quite close to State College, and it's quite the treat. So we'll talk about that with Tyler a little bit later on the program today, and then we'll have guests with us on the final segment today from St. Michael the Archangel Parish on Butler's south side. They are gearing up for their big Festa Italia this weekend, and so we'll have guests to talk all about that. And boy, do they have good food. Do they ever have good food? We'll talk about that, too. But first, we welcome a friend of long standing, and that's Pat Collins. She's the executive director of the Butler County Historical Society. She's sitting right across from me here in our It's Your Turn studio. Pat, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good afternoon.
You have a couple of things that we want to talk about in particular. One is the calendar, the Butler County Historical Society calendar. So we'll talk about that a little bit later because we'll let people know that it's out. And a lot of people like to pick some of those up for Christmas gifts. But first things first, you have an event coming up in just a week's time. And this has become a pretty popular event. It's your historic cemetery walk. And you've done this for a few years now, have you not?
This is our fourth cemetery walk. Mm-hmm. It's one of my best days. I love the cemetery walks to experience history that way. It's an amazing thing.
First time I heard about it, I really didn't know what it was.
Right.
And then when you explained it, I said, oh, that is a really great way to learn about local history. So explain to me. I'm sure we have listeners who have never been there, have never heard about it. What's it all about?
Sure. What we do is we're presenting history in the first person. We bring people, shall we say, back to life for the day. There are no ghost stories. We do try to dress them in proper garb, and we have some artifacts and pictures there to make a little setting for them.
And these are historical figures of one sort or another from Butler's history?
They're part of Butler's history. It might be an immigrant who lived in Lindora and just raised their family.
Mm-hmm.
Might be someone who really led the county or the city, and they're buried up at the Northside Cemetery.
Well, hey, to me, an immigrant from Lindora who raised a family is no less important than a judge.
Exactly, you know? And that's why we bring in characters, actors, and choose people who are resting there, who filled every part of our lives and our history and have made Butler what it's been through the years.
And this cemetery walk actually takes place in a cemetery.
In the cemetery, the Northside Cemetery Association has been very supportive of us, and that place is a beautiful setting to start with. Mm-hmm. And we go in there for the afternoons and get everybody set up, and then you have tour guides. Everything starts at the same time, and you go into groups and go with your tour guide, and they also have another story that they will tell. So we're not running over groups. You know, we have it all orchestrated, so it's a pleasant experience.
So the actors who are portraying these people from the past, will they in fact be near their resting place?
Yes.
In the
yes.
cemetery?
They are near the characters' resting place. Mm-hmm. We put a wreath out of respect to the characters we are doing. We don't walk across the grounds. We stay on the walkways, the mm-hmm. roads that they have and that they take such nice care of. We also have volunteers, adults, some college kids through the year that create, do a lot of research and write a biography on all these characters. And then we have script writers who do a shortened script, and that's how it
so
all comes.
So if somebody goes, by the way, this is 2 days, right, on the weekend?
2 days, but you only go one day, you know, you mm-hmm. get the whole tour.
So if somebody goes, they go to the cemetery at the start of the event, they would go to one particular, near one particular grave site, while other people are going somewhere else?
Right. We
and
actually
then you kind of shift positions?
We have seven groups mm-hmm. going at a time, and each actor, they make it so it's between about 6 and 8 minutes each presentation. And then you move on.
And somebody else comes where you are.
And somebody else comes where you are. And the reason you have a tour guide is in case one of the actors maybe got started with their current group a little a minute late. Or there's some actors who just end up being a little bit longer. And we don't want one group running into the back and yeah. interrupting. So your tour guide kind of controls that and also tells a different story to get Butler's history out there. And
so you've got the logistics down pretty pat, done this for 3 years already. And it's proven to be a popular thing, has it not?
Yeah. It is. We get a great crowd. And again, we like to make sure people know these are factual, they're historical, they are not ghost stories, it's not done after dark, it's mm-hmm. in the afternoon.
You know, that's something that we should emphasize, because I know the very first time you did this, you wanted to make sure that the public understood that you were being very respectful here, that
yes.
obviously the cooperation of the Cemetery Association, and unfortunately, at this time of year, as you get close to Halloween, a lot of people get disrespectful of
yes.
cemeteries and those who have loved ones who have passed on, and nothing could be further from the truth here. You're treating these deceased people with great respect, telling their story.
Yes, yeah, it's what made Butler what it is. And we do also want to remind people, wear comfortable walking shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You only go maybe a little bit between the sites, but you're up on your feet for an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes easily. There aren't benches and seats to mm-hmm. sit on. So you get your exercise that day, too. And we don't rush anybody. You can.
Well, quite frankly, if you move around every 10 minutes, that's not bad.
Yeah.
If you had to stand perfectly still like the, you know, those guards at Buckingham Palace or whatever it is, that would be a different story. But it's not too bad when you get to move around every 10 minutes. Plus, these are all, I'm looking down at the actors who are portraying these various characters, and I know a lot of these people. They're pretty good community theater actors who are playing these parts.
Our actors are fantastic. Butler, people in Butler, I think as a whole, if you aren't able to get out and experience our theater, you are missing a good part of Butler. We have great actors here, and we write their scripts, but they add the life to it.
Uh-huh.
And some of them have a little sense of humor, and that's all right, because you know everyday people have a sense of humor. And I really enjoy their presentations.
The tours, you can go either Saturday, September 30th, that's a week from tomorrow, or Sunday, October 1st, so it's next weekend, not this weekend. And is the tour starts the same time each day, Saturday or Sunday?
It starts at 2 o'clock. Everybody mm-hmm. starts at the same time, and just keep flowing through.
Do you just drive into the cemetery and park? Is that?
We park up at the cemetery. We have people out, quite a few people that are out at the main entrance. You have to enter the upper entrance. We have the lower one closed for the day so that we don't have a problem with people driving into the crowds. And there's people there from the Cemetery Association, and we have more volunteers that have been doing this now with us for 3 years. They direct you where to park your car and get you to the starting point. We usually congregate and get everybody checked in right at the chapel area and go from there.
Where do you get tickets? This is not only a very informative and fun thing to do, educational thing to do, but it's also a bit of a fundraiser for the Historical Society. Yes. You're not going to make $1 million on this, but where do you get tickets?
We sell tickets online on our website at butlerhistory.com. It's right at the top, and you'll either see the cemetery walk or you'll see the Pullman Standard office building. Wait for the cemetery walk thing to show up, and it says buy tickets here. You can come into our office. Now, we're there next week especially. We'll be there Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 3. And if you can't get in when we're open, call. Some people call and buy them over the phone. And
the office of the Historical Society is right behind the courthouse.
Yes.
And I mean directly. It's in the Senator Walter Lowry House, restored now, wonderfully restored, right behind the courthouse. So, and again, this is next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend. It's a wonderful opportunity. Can you can we take a couple of minutes and go down the list of deceased individuals from Butler history who will be portrayed, and then the name of the actor who's portraying this person?
Sure, sure. Evan Evans was a machinist, had a machine shop over on the corner of Wayne Street and South McCain.
Okay.
The building is, of course, they tore it down whenever they were putting the new viaduct up.
Mm-hmm.
And that building was there before they built the first viaduct there.
Wow.
And Steve Fogle is going to portray Evan. Evan's family brought us a lot of family history and information on him. We are doing, we have Bob Meals, and a lot of people probably know Bob as a great actor around Butler. He is doing John Quincy Adams Kennedy.
I almost missed the last name, and I thought, what? We have a president buried at Northside Cemetery?
No. John actually went out to the Gold Rush with a group of young men from Butler who were mostly the sons of attorneys and judges, and the group of them went overland and went out and did a little gold mining, but they pretty much all came back. And he went on, and if you're familiar with the Senator Walter Lowry House, John's house was catty corner and is owned by Wink Robinson.
The attorney, the law firm.
Yes,
yeah. Wow.
Yes.
I know. Oh, that's a beautiful building, too, by the way. That beautiful house.
Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous. It was built about 1875 or so. So John will be there. And Clara Campbell Brandon was the first wife of Washington D. Brandon, portrayed by Tricia Eichler. And Washington Brandon, his house later became the synagogue on North Main Street as you start up the hill.
B'nai Abraham,
it's,
right there.
It's
yeah.
connected. There's a house that it, you know, was there that they built onto.
I know the house, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Washington D. Brandon lived to be 105 years old. He was the oldest attorney in the United States at the time he died, and he was the oldest member of the Presbyterian Church, at least in Butler, when he died. And I think he was the oldest something else in. You know the memory some days. Mm-hmm. You'll have to come and find out.
It's amazing that so many of these buildings, too, with historical references are still there.
Yeah, and people don't realize what they are.
Exactly.
But Clara was in herself really a well-educated woman. She attended the Witherspoon Academy and went on to the Pennsylvania Female College that most people don't have a clue. Well, so what? Well, the Pennsylvania Female College was renamed years later. It's now Chatham in Pittsburgh, and that's where she went to college.
And she went to Witherspoon.
She went to the Witherspoon.
A lot of people already know this story, but I'll give it quickly. It's how Institute Hill, how the Institute Hill neighborhood of Butler got its name, right?
Right. When they moved up there, been on Main Street. And
the Witherspoon Institute. Yep. So they called that neighborhood Institute Hill. Still do.
Then we had Albert Wickenhagen. Albert lived over on Ziegler Avenue, and he was a musician. Dean Weiland has graciously agreed to be Albert. Unfortunately, Albert died about 1918 when he was only 35. Hmm. But his brother and his father were both musicians. These people played the violin, and Albert played at the Majestic. That's where you got your music from in those days. You had live orchestras and bands.
Majestic Theater's still there.
Sure. And his brother, Gus, actually wrote music that has been published that we have a piece of. So we're not real sure. There might actually be some music presented at that site. Our actors are so good, and they're working on their things and developing them to be the best they can be for the day.
It's appropriate to have Dean Weiland portraying him, because Dean's a great singer.
Who else do you want to sing?
Yeah.
So I don't know if Dean's going to sing that day or not, but we might have that extra treat. Thomas Frazier is being presented by Jason Brewer, and those who have attended our other walks, Jason did Thomas Hoon. Hoon was the sheriff when the Biddle Boys hit town. Jason did a beautiful job on that. Thomas Frazier was a local man, got into some oil producing, and was postmaster of Butler when the new post office opened. And at that point, the new post office was on Washington and Jefferson Street.
That building's still there.
That building is still there, yes. Sophia Hollick is being presented by Sharon Chernick. Kernick, I'm not real sure, I guess.
It's Chernick, yeah. It's Chernick. I know Sharon. Okay. She's a good friend of mine, good actress.
She did Dorothy Sherwin, who was a World War I nurse in our last walk. Sophia is going to talk about her life a little bit and her husband, John. They both worked at Pullman. Her husband was an interpreter, and Sophia was a janitress in the offices, the main offices. Hmm. But we're going to get some Pullman, some standard steel history more out of that. And Harry Holliday Sr. is being presented by Tom Hilliard. Harry was the head of the Butler Armco. Well, actually, he came up here to work when it was Columbia Steel. 1927 Armco got ownership of that, and Harry stayed on and moved into a manager's position. He took Armco and Butler through the Depression and World War II, retired in April of 45. His son was at least a nationally, if not internationally, known swimmer, who ended up going to World War II. And, of course, 1940 and 44 Olympics were canceled. So he lost the chance to actually, he was accepted to go into them, but lost that chance to go and be an Olympian. But he was inducted into the Swimming Hall of Fame. So
see, this it's just like so I said much. Before, you don't have to be a lieutenant governor to be famous. These are exactly. Wonderful stories about real Butler people out of the past.
Yes. And, yeah. You know, we are so lucky with our volunteers. And I know you know Brad Floof. We call them Brad's kids because he gets them interested. And then as they move into college years, they come into our building as volunteers and interns some work for us in the summers. Mm-hmm. And we work with them, and Brad has worked with them, and we teach them good research, and they just, it always comes back and helps us out. And these young people, these young adults, will be at the cemetery walk as tour guides and just helping with everything. We're so lucky in Butler, again, to have the people and the resources that we have.
This, it's called Echoes from Our Past, Historic Cemetery Walk, with the actors portraying people of Butler's past history. Takes place, you can go on either tour, next Saturday or next Sunday, September 30th or October 1st. Get tickets online or at the Historical Society office.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of fun, actually, a lot of fun.
It is. I enjoy it. And we've been so lucky every year. It's been about 75 every year and a light breeze and a little cloudy, a little sunny, and it's just been perfect.
Who knows what it's going to be with the unpredictable weather we've had this year.
We don't know this year, but we go on. Unless it's monsoons, we actually have the easy up tents.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
each actor this year, for sure, will have one. And bring your umbrella if it looks like rain, because unless it's high winds and just uncontrollable, we will go on.
That's a good idea.
Get our exercise.
Echoes from Our Past, Historic Cemetery Walk. We want to take a quick break here. I have something else I want to talk with Pat Collins about. The Butler County Historical Society calendar is out for 2018, and the theme this year is absolutely fantastic. As soon as I saw it on the front cover, I couldn't wait to tear mine open and start looking at it. We'll tell you about it and where you can get them coming up here in just a moment. You're listening to It's Your Turn on WISR. Coming up on the second portion of our program today, Tyler Gum, the director of the Pennsylvania Military Museum in Bowlesburg, will be with us. We will be right back.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Welcome back, folks. We're chatting with Pat Collins. Pat is the executive director of the Butler County Historical Society. I don't know of any local historical society that is any more active than the one we have here, and I don't say that just because it's in Butler. They just do a lot of great stuff, including, for the past several years now, publishing a wall calendar. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it because they become very, very popular. And for goodness sakes, 2018 is out already. You get these out early, don't you, Pat?
We actually like to have them out in time to take them to the cemetery walk. Some people, that's a good time for them to get them, and they do their Christmas shopping while
people who will pick up. These are great stocking stuffers because it's a very nominal donation to get one and to send it to people, especially people that moved away from Butler. You know, this is great stuff.
It does get around the country. That's the best part. And they're a great thing to keep on hand if you might get invited to a party and need a little gift for a hostess. It's a neat thing to take.
And are they already available at places around town?
They are. They are right now. They're in Miller's Shoe Store, May's Music Shop, and Natilly's North has a pile so far.
And what's the donation to the Historical Society?
Those are $10 a piece, and it's a donation to us. We have sponsors who help us, you know, pay for the printing and get this created every year. And we like to keep things local, so the Eagle Printery out towards East Butler prints it for us and sets it up and prints it. And they just do a great job for us every year, too.
It's a full-size wall calendar, and I have every one since you started. I've saved them each year, and every once in a while I'll dig. In fact, a couple of weeks ago we were... Oh, I know when it was. We were talking about the flood in the West End this summer, back in July.
Yes.
And I said, hang on a second. I know a couple of years ago that they had pictures of the flooding in the West End in one of the Historical Society calendars.
We had
calendars.
A little bit. This is the 10th calendar, Dave.
10th one. Huh?
10th one. It's flown by.
Well, the theme this year, and it says it on the front cover, then and now. So tell us, you have to explain how you did this with pictures.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
We have a group of pictures. It's not huge, but there was enough to start looking at it to do the calendar with. A lot of people don't realize the Butler was a borough, and I think it incorporated as a borough about 1817. During the year 1917, they did their paperwork, and at least by January 1st of 1918, it was incorporated as a city. So we thought pictures of Main Street from the end of the last era into the new would be fun.
100 years ago. And so many of the buildings that still exist were there 100 years ago.
Yeah. And some of them, what we got a kick out of, at least I did, was when you look in the windows of these buildings, they have a sign that says closed July 4th, 1908. because there were picnics down at Memorial Park or out. You would go out to, out to Alameda at that time. And the stores were going to close for the 4th of July.
I have what intrigued me more than anything else. I love to look and see if a store that was there 100 years ago still has some of the facade visible you can see today. Now, some of the buildings have been unfortunately covered, but many of them, same facade, same stonework.
Well, you know what I also got a kick out of was one of them on Main Street had an address. And we have very few addresses on Main Street that changed through the years, but there were a couple. And we couldn't decide if it was this building today or that one next to it. And our pictures that we took these from are bigger and maybe would show us more of the building, and we were able to identify them because of the stone or the brick, and they are all that's changed is maybe the front on the first floor. So
we don't have time to give you all, but you have to but one was the site that's now Dollar General downtown. And I can remember when it was JCPenney. They have a picture, and this is in the month of April next year. There's a picture of Dollar General, picture of when it was JCPenney, same building, and then a picture of when it was Charles Duffy's furniture and a carpet store at that site, later Offutt's. And the reason that building isn't there is because it burned to the ground.
It burned. It did burn. It burned the whole way.
Never saw a picture of the building that burned. I knew it had to be a spectacular fire. And I wasn't around here then. It was 1951, I think.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
It says right here. Yeah. There's the date. But I just can't imagine how they were able to save so many buildings nearby with that spectacular blaze. It was just terrific work by the firemen back then.
I think we had terrific firemen to start with, and they were basically world-class runners. They participated in the hose cart reel competitions across the country and were national champions.
Wow.
So they ran, and we, of course, had horses in the early trucks, which I think were in a couple of years ago. But
picture the old G.C. Murphy storefront. I can remember as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, my gosh, it takes me back to when I was a kid going in. I had forgotten about that big center picture window display.
Yep.
Picture windows on both sides, but it was one right in the middle.
Yep.
I forgot about that. Wonderful memories. Hey, folks, $10 donation. And believe me, you'll look at this thing for hours. And a great gift, too. By the way, what's the picture on the cover, Pat Collins?
That picture on the cover, it's actually described on the back. This always confuses everybody. That is Swartzlander's blacksmith shop. It was right across from the People's Telephone Company. I was a kid growing up.
I know where that was,
and, it would have been torn down probably in the 80s when they were getting ready to build the government center, and they had a parking lot there. Now it's part of that new building that they just built on that lower side of the government center.
Look at those guys standing. So many of your photographs, it's not just a static building. You have the people, the proprietors of these shops standing out front all dressed up for a photograph.
It was a big thing, and we think some of them are marked as to who the people are, or they didn't know everybody, but they marked the ones they knew. We also think so many of them seem to be done in that between 1900 and 1918, 1920, maybe they were doing this because the borough was changing into a city. It was July 4th holiday, we know, on some of them. And, I mean, they got dressed up.
Wonderful picture.
Came out.
You can pick up a Butler County Historical Society wall calendar for $10 at, you said, Miller Shoes, Natili North.
May's Music.
May's Music. And do you have them at the Historical
Society? We have them at the Historical Society. They're always available there, and we're going to try to get another place or two, but we haven't gotten that far this week.
Don't forget the Echoes from Our Past Historic Cemetery Walk, not this weekend, but next at Northside Cemetery, and you get tickets for that online at butlerhistory.com.
Yes.
Butlerhistory.com.
Yep.
Pat, good to see you.
Good to see you, Dave. Thanks for having us.
Love the calendar this year. It's fabulous. More to come. Stick around. A quick break. We're going to be chatting with Tyler Gum. He is the director of the Pennsylvania Military Museum. He's next up here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We shall be back in just a couple of minutes.
Since 1938, Hunter Truck Sales has been a leader in the trucking industry. With 19 locations, we've grown to be the largest heavy truck dealership network in the Northeast. Proudly, Hunter has employed generations of families in the region and was recently honored to be named 2017 Family Business of the Year by the Pittsburgh Business Times. Check it out online at huntertrucksales.com for truck inventory, careers, and locations. Across our network, Hunter will provide solutions for all your trucking needs.
Whether you're a competitive athlete or a weekend warrior, any injury that keeps you on the sidelines is not one worth having. The sports medicine specialist at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers will help you get back into action so you can keep up your lifestyle. Our experts understand that the same treatments for competitive athletes can be used for those who just want to be able to stay active. They accept major insurance plans, including both Highmark and UPMC. Learn more about how you can get back on the field by visiting TriRiversMSK.com.
Welcome, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Mullarkey. Interesting topic to discuss, something that I'm anxious to learn more about. It's the Pennsylvania Military Museum. And we have the director of the Military Museum, Tyler Gum, with us on the telephone here. Tyler, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us today.
No worries. Good, great to be with you.
Oh, pleasure is ours, really. I'm anxious to learn about the Pennsylvania Military Museum. I dare say, Tyler, that there are some listeners who maybe didn't even realize that Pennsylvania had a military museum.
Yeah, not a problem, and certainly put yourself at ease, and listeners as well, that you're not alone. A lot of folks, they know about the military history of Pennsylvania, you know, from the French Indian War, you know, Gettysburg, and even today with multiple deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan for a lot of our brave men and women. But we do have a Pennsylvania military museum focused on all of those time periods in Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania. If you're wondering where is Bowlesburg, that is more or less dead center in the state, about 3 miles to the side of State College. So when you're thinking, where are we? If you find State College, you'll find us.
Yes, very close to State College. And by the way, a very beautiful community. There are lots of great restaurants and spots in Bowlesburg. In fact, there's a big art show held there every summer, isn't there?
There is. You're absolutely right. So what had happened was a number of years ago, we were approached by the People's Choice Arts Festival, and they said, hey, we're looking for a home, so to speak. Would you be willing to take us or to kind of help us out with the facility? And we said, well, certainly. And so we do have a facility fee schedule. So for a particular fee of that the organization coordinates with us, they rent the front grounds, and across 4 days, their arts festival sees about 200 vendors, roughly 50 to 60,000 visitors. And as far as the parking, and that's our big part, we help coordinate the parking for the event, and all the proceeds from that actually support three different nonprofits here in Center County, and all of those monies are supported are supporting the education programs and outreach and material.
And that festival is literally right in the front yard of the...
it is. You can look out the front window, and there's a lemonade stand and also the blacksmith.
And I, for people who have never been there, I have a number of times, but when we say front yard, you don't realize how big this front yard is. It's gargantuan.
You're absolutely right. In fact, that front yard... what we call it affectionately is the front parade grounds, and we're still actually cleared of the landing zone by the Air National Guard. So a number of times throughout the year you'll see, for fun, not for emergency, but for fun, you'll see a number of Blackhawks, Chinooks, and other types of rotored aircraft land for different ceremonies, static displays, and even sometimes when dignitaries come in, they have the ability to bring in their helicopter and land out front for meetings.
Well, how is it that the Pennsylvania Military Museum happens to be in Bowlesburg? Can you tell us a little bit about the history of how it ended up there in that community?
Absolutely. So I want to take you back, kind of a Marty McFly Back to the Future time, a time warp, and we'll go back to pre-World War One. So you're looking at the time period of the 1912s, 13, 14, 15, you know, number of years before America's entry into World War One. And you have a local community member known as Mr. Bull, and Bull is going to raise up a machine gun troop here in Bowlesburg as a militia. Eventually that gets attached to the National Guard, and then they deploy down to Mexico on the border, and then eventually find themselves over in France as part of the American Expeditionary Force in World War One. So it's that time period of pre-World War One into the Great War and then post that here on the grounds of the museum. Of course, the museum doesn't exist back then, but it's a training ground and then eventually a location for an officer's reunion hall. The officer's reunion takes place from the Great War, the whole way actually to today, known as the Celebration of Service. But in that post-war time period, you have it transitioning from a military training ground, a post, officer's reunion site, and then eventually from the military affairs over to today. Which is now, of course, the Pennsylvania Historical and Museum Commission. Mm-hmm. We have the Pennsylvania Military Museum. So it was always a dream of locals and then, of course, military affairs and then of others that they wanted to have, broadly speaking, a military museum dedicated to the men and women of the Commonwealth that have served either during wartime, peacetime, or, of course, during disaster. And so they located it here because of the heritage and legacy of the site. So you have not only a museum now here that was opened up in 1969, but you also have a number of memorials and monuments, and that's about 29 to be exact. The most recent, it's only about 2.5 years ago, was laid to the men who had fallen during the Greater War on Terror during their deployment overseas.
Yes, and you can explore those monuments. You have a guide and a map. Mm-hmm. You can explore those outdoors right next to the museum. It's quite a trip through there.
It is. We have about 67 acres of property here, and so you have the outdoor area, the front parade grounds where the monuments are, as well as where that the training grounds for the old Bull troop was. You have the museum itself, and then you also have behind the museum a historic vehicle building. It has a number of our vehicles on display that some of them are just for that as far as an exhibit, and others we actually drive out on the grounds and in parades and demonstrations.
Now, you had a pretty big deal this past spring because we were marking the centennial of World War One, and of course that ties in directly with the founding of the museum there and the 28th Infantry Division. You had, I don't know, several weeks of speakers and stuff, didn't you?
Oh, it was wonderful, absolutely. So we commemorated America's entry into the war, which was, of course, April 1917. So we commemorated this year as far as the centennial, which was April 2017. And starting off in the first weekend of April, the whole way into May, actually, we had lectures, panels, discussions, temporary exhibits, demonstrations outside. It was wonderful. It was a really great event for folks to come out and learn about. You know, sometimes, you know, Korea is known as the Forgotten War most times. Mm-hmm. But in many ways, a lot of our citizens have forgotten about, you know, the Great War, the war to end all wars.
Yeah.
And so it was wonderful. So, yeah, we had topics ranging from combat and field medicine, the whole way to chemistry about, you know, gas warfare, tactics and ballistics. We had lectures and panels about the home front and about the social and political implications of what was going on in this time period. And then we also had those outdoor demonstrations about uniforms and transportation and weaponry and things like that.
We're talking, listeners, for those of you who may have joined us a few minutes late, that's fine. We're talking with Tyler Gumm. Tyler is the director of the Pennsylvania Military Museum. It is in Bowlesburg, just a couple of miles, I think it's about 3 miles, actually, from State College. It's interesting to me to hear you talk about Theodore Boal putting together a militia unit, you know, back in the day. How things changed so quickly from, because that was done during the Civil War, too, but by the time World War II rolled around, you know, individuals didn't start their own militia units. You know, it was either being drafted or enlisting.
Absolutely, it's fascinating how that's changed over the years as far as the state, the federalization, the different apparatus and units and the divisions, and still today we of course see that evolving. Our involvement with military affairs, as well as in the actual military units. Is quite treasured because, of course, that's the reason we're here. We're protecting that honor, service, and legacy of our men and women who have served, and we continue to be involved with them. Most recently, we were meeting with the Department of Military Veteran Affairs of trying to see how can we better honor our veterans and our servicemen and women, and then we're also working with the 28th Division annually on their celebration of service. So it's exciting to be able to look back and preserve and conserve that story and that history, as well as the home front story about those who have served in the factories and the mills and on the farms during wartime, ramping up or during rationing. But it's also exciting to still be involved in those active units that are deploying and then coming home and having their reunions and even seeing some of the families greet them. In fact, the most recent fun story I'll share with the listeners is that we had a commissioning ceremony. So we had some ROTC students come out from Penn State University. And they said, Tyler, can we have a ceremony here before we head out? I said, yeah, absolutely, you know, good to go. So the Navy had a wonderful ceremony at the base of the USS Pennsylvania barrels, the BB-38s that sit out front. So we're known affectionately as the home port for the battleship. And they had their commissioning ceremony at the base of those guns. And then inside, we also had Marine Corps ceremonies where we actually used Skype, and we Skyped in the gentleman's colonel from Kuwait, from the embassy, and he was able to deliver the oath of office to the young lieutenant in our auditorium.
There's a fascinating story. You have the guns of the USS Pennsylvania there. There's a fascinating story as to why you couldn't save the whole ship. It's on the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, isn't it?
Yeah, they used it for some testing and for target practice, and so unfortunately we don't have the ship, but we do have two of our barrels, which is special because as you enter, you'll see them right there, and you can still glance up at them and find some wartime damage from whenever she was in dry dock at Pearl Harbor. And then inside, we actually have one of her bells. So every bell, of course, as most would know, or every ship has two bells, fore and aft. We have one of them located in the museum, and then the other one is actually over on the Penn State University Park campus. So you really do have the quote-unquote home port. You have her guns and the bells.
Those guns are pretty big, by the way.
Yeah, they're definitely an ominous presence here on the ground.
You can see how they would put fear into people when you saw those on a ship. By the way, did they ever replace the USS Pennsylvania after she was purposefully sunk because of damage? Or, you know, is there another USS Pennsylvania somewhere?
That is that's a wonderful segue. I'll give you that one for sure because now she's a submarine.
And, wow!
In our naval area of the museum, we actually talk about her service currently, and we actually have a I guess you'd say an educational piece. One of the Mark 48 torpedoes that would be used on her. It's inert, of course. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. But visitors can learn about that past service and current service of the USS Pennsylvania, and then see actually one of the types of munition that would be used. So you have the munition of the submarine in one area of the room of the exhibit, and then just to its flank, you actually have a 1,200-pound shell from its time of service in World War II. So it's really neat to juxtapose those two time periods of service of story.
We'll take a quick break, listeners. We have a little bit more time to chat with our guest, Tyler Gum. He's the director of the Pennsylvania Military Museum, and I do want to talk about when the museum is open. It's a nice day trip down there from our area here in western Pennsylvania, easily done down and tour the museum and then back again. So we'll pick up our conversation with Tyler here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
If you're a dog person, you know how much a dog means in your life. You know how your dog gives you unrestricted love and affection and joy. You also know that the dog can be so comforting at just the right time when you need to be comforted. That's why Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler has O'Shea on their care team. O'Shea is there to provide the comfort and companionship that really helps, but she's only there at your request. Come in and meet O'Shea. You'll see why so many folks want her at the funeral. She creates a calming atmosphere. And while you're here, ask about our unique services, our competitive costs, our cremation program. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or visit our website at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm Dave Malarkey, and on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, we're talking with Tyler Gum. Tyler is the director of the Pennsylvania Military Museum in Bowlesburg, PA, just outside of the State College. It's actually, if people are looking for it, it's right on Route 322, correct?
Yep, we're just off the side of 322, and so as you're coming through the area, this kind of corridor between the Pittsburgh State College, Harrisburg, and eastern direction, you can easily get off the highway, come spend a day or an afternoon with us, and not only learn some history, but eat some good snacks and enjoy the grounds.
When is the museum open, Tyler?
So we're open Wednesday through Sunday, and so our hours fluctuate. So Wednesday through Saturday, it's 10 to 5, and on Sunday, it's 12 to 5. So you can find us here at the museum, and then the grounds themselves actually are open from sunup to sundown. So maybe if you're not more interested in the touring the museum or the collections or some of the exhibits, you're more than welcome to enjoy the free parking out front. We have a half-mile walking track through those historical monuments and memorials, and you can walk the dog, have fun with the kids, and enjoy the history outside as well.
It's a lovely setting, the huge parade grounds and then the trees all around it, and it's very peaceful, very nice. So talk a little bit about some of the exhibits. What will people see? I'm assuming that you have certain exhibits that are up for a while and then they go somewhere else or they go into storage. Do you have permanent exhibits, something that you'll always see there?
We do indeed. That's a great question. So most museums, regardless of topic, will have a permanent exhibit or gallery, and then they, of course, rotate some of the temporary exhibits. And so right now, of course, we're in the commemoration of the centennial of World War I. So our temporary exhibits feature some of the weaponry and technology used in that time period. And what we try to do is balance it between here's what our men and women are using as far as on the home front and then on the front lines, and then what is the German Empire, what is the aggressor or the belligerent using from their perspective against our men in combat. And then inside the gallery, we have another temporary exhibit featuring more of a local story as far as the men that were mustered here from Center County. And then we also have, as you mentioned, the permanent exhibit. And our permanent exhibit, no matter when you come, is always up. We feature the time period of just before World War I up to Vietnam. And it's an exciting time to visit because we not only have your artillery and your small arms and your armor and your naval history and your airborne histories, but we're also looking at a future redesign, actually, of that permanent exhibit. So you always have the temporaries kind of rotating depending on what's going on. But the exciting part, Dave, is right now we're looking at trying to expand that permanent exhibit from your French and Indian War the whole way to Afghanistan and Iraq.
Hmm. Well,
so it's very exciting to stop by.
We're very sympathetic to especially World War II history because of Butler being the birthplace of the Jeep. With the prototype for the the general purpose vehicle that the Army ordered.
I think you guys just celebrated your this day in history for that too.
Yes, we did. As a matter of fact, yeah. And the prototype of the Jeep was manufactured here, taken to Fort Meade, I believe, in Maryland, where the Army practically ran it to death, and It was the winner of the competition. It's hard to believe because this was at a tiny auto manufacturing plant here in Butler, very tiny, and it was in dire straits financially, actually. Of course, this was the late 30s when a lot of car plants were. But won the contract, and the rest is history. So, yeah, we're sensitive to military apparatus.
Absolutely. I think it's a great example of small things, great things coming in small packages, and the underdog getting the bid.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, the front facade of the museum, and I'm speaking architecturally now, it's fascinating. It appears to me, I could be wrong on this, maybe I'm way out in left field, it appears to be an artistic take on medals that might be presented to a veteran of combat campaigns.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, good eye on that. And just for a moment, I'll backtrack to you're talking about the Bantam Jeep, because we do have one in our exhibit. And so if any of your listeners from Butler are looking to see a piece of that local history on display in a large statewide museum, definitely plan on a visit here to the museum. It's in our logistics area of the exhibit, and you'll see it featured no matter what time of year or commemoration going on. The Bantam from Butler, Pennsylvania, is always on display.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned it. I didn't want to go into too much detail.
That's right. We have a lot of Jeep heads that just, you know, they love Jeep, they love the four-wheel drive stuff, and they'll come in and pay the admissions just to have their picture taken with the Jeep.
Well, it was the Bantam, the Austin Bantam Car Company, yep, here in Butler, that was about to go out of business, quite frankly, and they heard about the Army, request for proposals for the toughest vehicle ever seen on the face of the earth, and son of a gun, that's where the Jeep came from. So,
So you're talking about the architectural design out front then, and the architectural design incorporates those honors designations that men and women have earned from Pennsylvania. And so they decorate the front of the building. And so what they're looking at is, okay, you have like kind of this empty blank canvas as we're doing the renovation of the museum, adding on to it. And so the designers, architects, engineers, they all got together and realized, you know, what better way to use that canvas than to show the different honors and respects that Pennsylvanians have earned in their service to the nation and to the state. Mm-hmm. And so as you are driving down Atherton and you approach the museum, if you don't see the large USS Pennsylvania guns first, then the other first that you'll see, of course, are these large colors on the front of the museum honoring those Pennsylvanians. So we do have the Medal of Honor, of course, and we have the different unit and service ribbons and honors that have been awarded, exhibited on the front facade. And it actually won an architectural design award for it, too.
I can believe it. Folks, this is big.
It's beautiful.
Like a two- or three-story facade. It's not a small thing. It catches your eye from the highway.
Yep.
We're talking about the Pennsylvania Military Museum. What are the entry fees, by the way? Pretty reasonable, I understand, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep, quite reasonable, especially compared to some of your other trips you can take across the state or over the nation. For children under three, it's free, so bring those little tykes along, because we also have some scavenger hunts and kids' days for those folks. They can enjoy some of the uniforms and the gear and the kit, and they can jump in the Jeeps with their older brothers and sisters, because ages 3 to 11 is only $4. The adults, those 12 to 64-year-old friends and family and cousins, is only $6, and our seniors are $5.50. And if you happen to be a listener right now as a active-duty military personnel, your admissions is free. So we have a lot of those different events covering all the different ages as far as, you know, the fun and the hands-on, the intellectual curiosities, and then even sometimes just the panels and lecture series will bring people out. So usually the standard fee, $6. If you're looking for a guided tour, which we have frequently, is $8. But there's a lot of times when you're walking through the museum, one of our docents will just grab you and say, hey, let's walk through the museum together. And there's no extra or anticipated fee for that, because they've approached you and said, let's go have some fun and learn some history.
I know that you just had, in fact, it was earlier this month, a living history bivouac on the parade grounds there. Look at uniforms and equipment from the 18th through the 21st centuries. Do you still have any other special events or talks or something like that lined up between now and the end of the year, Tyler?
We do indeed. So on, if you're looking at your calendars right now, if you're flipping through your smartphone, or maybe through, if you're more of a paper and pen guy like myself, through your day timer, we're looking at a number of lecture series and panels still coming up. So we have one on October 4th. That's a lecture series at 7 o'clock in the evening. And then we also have two new programs that we're debuting in late October as we get into the fall. So as people are looking for things to do, come on out on October 7th. We're doing a program called Keeping It Clean. We're going to teach and also exhibit some of the techniques of keeping our historical weapons collection clean and how we actually care for our artifacts at the museum. And if you're looking for a really special program where you're interested in museums, you're interested in military history, but you also want to have what we kind of have joked around the office, calling it the Wizard of Oz moment, you know, peeking behind the curtain and seeing where those levers and those pedals are, well, we're going to do a program called Inside the Belly of the Beast. And visitors can tour the museum with a staff member and go into the collections and the archives and the holdings and the staff-only areas and learn really what makes a museum. And then the rest of the winter and fall, we're still also having our lecture series and a winter lecture series that if you're looking for something to do on a snowy Friday or Saturday, come on out because we're going to be talking about things such as, you know, the Third Reich and World War II, Christmas on the front line, Civil War, our collection. And even then, two programs that I think will draw some attention. One's about the U.S. Colored Troops of the Civil War, and then the U.S. military being a proving ground for social change. So mm-hmm. a lot of wonderful stuff still left to do in the year.
Yeah, social change, that's interesting. And I would imagine that at least mentions the Tuskegee Airmen.
Oh, absolutely.
Who were such fabulous fighter escorts for bombers that many bomber groups requested them specifically to be their escort as they were making bombing runs from England into Germany. And the Tuskegee Airmen, folks, in case you haven't heard of them, it was an all-African-American fighter squadron.
Yeah. The other interesting part I'll throw in there, Dave, as far as our winter lecture series of social change is that Pennsylvania can be proud of herself in that we were the first state to actually have the first enlisted woman to the Navy. Hmm. So if you're looking for some, even the social changes on the women's history side, come on out because we'll be featuring that as part of that lecture, too.
Let me ask you, our time begins to run out here, but I'm interested in this Theodore Bowl, who was instrumental in putting together the militia group that ended up fighting in World War I. Was the town, the community of Bowlesburg, already named at that time? Was he part of the heir to a wealthy family or a wealthy estate or something?
So it's fascinating. So what ends up happening is the town name actually changes. So originally it has a different name. He rises to prominence as a local town member. He, of course, had married into what was then and still known today as the Christopher Columbus family. So he had, as he joked one time, he had the good fortune of having multiple fortunes to spend and lots of time to do it as he traveled. So he had made a number of friends overseas. Of course, comes back home after serving in World War I. And does a wonderful job for himself and the community, helping, of course, start a lot of the different businesses, initiatives, schools, of course, Penn State University being one of them, and then, of course, that machine gun troop that's raised up. So as far as when you think of Bowlesburg, it really does have a very local and personal reason for being called that. And then we also have the wonderful story as far as Memorial Day, the flags in service idea, helping take off right here in Bowlesburg, honoring the Civil War veterans. So we have a lot of different time periods covered, all because of, you could say, being Bowlesburg and where we are in Pennsylvania.
I had a wonderful lunch in Bowlesburg a summer or two ago, and I'm desperately trying to, I think it was Duffy's Tavern. Does that ring a bell? Is there a Duffy's Tavern?
Oh, absolutely, yes, sir. So it's just over on the square. So as folks are traveling through, if you're interested in grabbing a crepe of the crab bisque or another sandwich, you can hit the tavern. You also have another few other options there through town cafes and bistros and dairies. I mean, it's a wonderful little area where you can spend a lot of time digging through the different layers of history and gastro funness as far as all the goodies to eat and sample.
We just walked through the village and ended up eating outside next to the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, it's a wonderful setting.
Outdoor place.
Wonderful.
Bowlesburg, we're talking about, folks. Bowls, Bowlesburg, just outside of State College. And believe me, once you get a look, once you stand up next to the guns from the battleship USS, if you've never seen how big these things are, the guns on a battleship, a World War II era battleship, That'll just blow you away, even if you don't have any other time. If you're driving by it to see those guns, it's an amazing thing.
Oh, it is. We have the guns. We have a number of armored vehicles. We have the tanks, and we have the howitzers. We have the monuments. A lot of just really big and just eye-opening exhibits and assets out front.
Nice day trip from Butler. By the way, I forgot to ask you, I assume there are certain holidays you're closed, right? That's usually the case with museums.
Yes, sir. Yep. The major federal holidays, you know, Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving. But most of the other holidays, though, you'll find that we are open because as having the large front parade grounds and the inside facility, we have a lot of stuff going on. So Veterans Day, Labor Day, Memorial Day, July 4th, those summer holidays, we're still all open. And even most times throughout the winter, as museums slow down, we're still going strong. So definitely stop out and visit us.
The Pennsylvania Military Museum in Bowlesburg, PA. Our guest has been Tyler Gumm. Tyler is the director of the Military Museum. Tyler, how nice to meet you and talk with you. This is fascinating stuff. I appreciate the conversation today.
Absolutely. It's been a distinct pleasure and honor to speak with yourself and the listeners. And if you ever get a chance, you know, if you see me on the ground, you see me inside the museum, stop and have a conversation. And Dave, if you're ever in the area, I'd love to give you a tour of the museum and the collections.
I'll take you up on that. I'll take you up on that.
Wonderful.
Tyler Gumm. Thanks, Tyler. Nice to talk with you. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Sure. So long now. Are you back to school ready? At Institute Hill Pharmacy in Butler, our knowledgeable and friendly staff can help you with all of your back to school prescription needs. We carry asthma, allergy, and diabetic medications. And when cold and flu season hits, we offer a variety of over-the-counter medications and speedy prescription fill service to help you feel better fast. So stop by Institute Hill Pharmacy, located at 937 East Jefferson Street. Call 285-3693 or find us on Facebook. A healthy and happy school year begins with Institute Hill Pharmacy, an old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
It seems that almost every day there's news of a breakthrough in healthcare. New medicines and procedures, imaging that opens a new window into the human body. At Butler Health System, interventional radiologist Dr. Thomas Franco understands that even with these breakthroughs, no technology can replace the human side of care.
Every image tells us a story, but there's a bigger picture, and we never lose sight of that. Healthcare is more than practicing medicine. It's about taking the time to understand where every patient is coming from.
For cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. David Schwartzman, that understanding is ultimately the key to better outcomes.
Technology isn't enough. Skill isn't enough. We have all of that. It's about improving the quality of the lives we touch every day.
At Butler, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care. But more importantly, we know why we have to. Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Back, good friends. Boy, fascinating to talk with Tyler Gumm there. I was not familiar with that museum at all. Bowlesburg, PA. Our next guests are with us here in the studio to tell us about a big event coming up this weekend. It's become quite a traditional event at St. Michael the Archangel Parish on the Butler's south side. Let's say hello to Father Harry Bielewitz. Father, good to see you. Nice to have you here today.
Hi, Dave. Good to be with you this afternoon.
Linda Rotman is also here. Linda, good to see you.
Thank you, Dave. Always good to see you.
I can't believe this plate of cookies you brought for me. Oh, my goodness. This is fabulous. Well, I know this. A big part of the Festa Italia at St. Michael's food, right?
Right.
Food. Food, food. Give us the details for people who might not be able to stay with us for the whole time, if they're listening in the car or whatever. Two-day festival this weekend, right, Linda?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. What time does it get underway?
We start with the opening prayer at noon on Saturday till 9 o'clock, and on Sunday it's from 12 to 6.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, in past years you've had a variety of menus on Saturday and then one set meal on Sunday. Are you doing that again?
Yes, we are. Sunday's the spaghetti dinner, but Saturday we have the a la carte, different foods. We have lasagna, we have shells, we have a pasta primavera, we have hot sausage, we have meatball sandwiches, of course. And then we have a new addition this year. We're having Italian roast beef sandwiches. They were quite a hit down at the downtown Butler Italian Festival, so we're going to do that again.
Italian roast beef sandwiches.
Correct.
Something new for me. I never run out of sampling Italian food, I'll tell you what. In fact, my mouth is watering just hearing you talk about it, that's for sure. Father Harry, this is They've been having this at St. Michael's for several years now, right?
Yeah. Yes, Dave. This is the ninth year that they've had this at St. Michael's, and so it's great to continue this tradition now for the ninth year. And it's all about the generosity of the folks. You know, St. Michael's Parish dates back to 1909, mm-hmm. and so I think in honor of the anniversary and tradition, the good folks 9 years ago decided to have this to honor, you know, how this all came about in 1909.
Also, it started as kind of marking the 100th anniversary of the parish, huh?
Correct.
Yeah. My engineer tells me I need to have both of you move just a little bit closer to the microphones. That's grand. That'll be perfect. Good. So, for folks who don't know where this church is located, Center Avenue, it's on the south side of Butler.
Correct, 432 Center Avenue.
Mm-hmm. And this is, in days gone by, there were a lot of ethnic parishes in Catholic churches around western Pennsylvania. And St. Michael was an Italian ethnic parish when it started, right?
And that's how it all really started, Dave, that in 1909, actually, the people had a priest come over. Everybody's familiar with Father Vincent Marinaro, came over in 1909, and he was appointed as the first pastor of St. Michael the Archangel in 1909, and which is very interesting that he served there for 60 years as the pastor,
goodness,
until he,
wow,
went home to God in 1969. So that's another history of someone that served that long. And so a lot of the folks have a lot of good memories of him because he did so much from the very beginning until God called him home in 1969, but he was the pastor there for 60 years. As you know, there's a park named after him as well, more so in the community as well, all that he did for the people of that came over from Italy, and also the French and Belgium. Also, they welcomed them into the church as well.
You know, it says something about his community service, how he was loved in the community, that they named Father Marinaro Park after him.
Correct.
And it's a huge park on that same neighborhood in Butler, on the south side of Butler.
Correct.
Yeah, not too far from the church, as a matter of fact. So Italian ethnic heritage along with French and Belgian. Now, I'm of Irish heritage. You know, we have our foods. You know, we've got our box tea and our bashers and some other things. But I got to be honest with you, it doesn't even compare to Italian foods. The Italian ethnic heritages have got food that just is unbelievable, including a lot of pasta dishes. I have not missed the spaghetti since you started this thing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I haven't always made it for the Saturday a la carte dinners, but the spaghetti is absolutely fabulous. What else happens, Linda Rotman, at the... for me, the food would be enough, quite frankly. But you have a lot of other things that go on, too, right?
We sure do. The Butler Dance Center is going to be there at 2 o'clock on Saturday. At 3:30, Michael Sonata will be back again. He does a tribute to Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that attended last year asked me if he could come back this year. And he was so delighted. He told us that this was one of the nicest festivals that he was ever at. So we were very grateful for that. And then Morella the musician, she's another one that everyone loves. She will be there at 5:30, and that takes care of Saturday. And our entertainment on Sunday is the Butler Center for the Performing Arts at 2. John Gabriel's the accordionist at 3. And we have our basket drawings and our annual raffle and cash drawings from 5 to 6 o'clock.
Accordion is a traditional instrument for Italian music. Also in Irish music, too, by the way.
Well,
yeah. We call it something different. We call it a button box. But it's the same thing. A little smaller, but the same thing. Where do you hold this Festa Italia, Linda?
It's in our parish hall just behind the church. The address is really Glen Avenue, but you would enter it by the church at 432 Center Avenue and just go on the driveway around to the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. And it's a huge parking lot, so plenty,
correct,
of space to park there. You don't have to worry about parking on the street or anything like that.
Plus, this weekend, God's blessed, is a very warm day. It's air-conditioned, so the folks would know that. So
that's a good thing to mention.
It's very comfortable to be inside and have a wonderful time with wonderful food and a very... a nice air-conditioned hall.
Is there an admission charge to get in?
No, there's no admission charge, and you'll be surprised when you come in there. It's like the ambience of a beautiful Italian village. We have the round tables and the little checkered tablecloths, and all the decorations are up, and everyone comments about how nice it is. So we're happy for that.
See, I personally am very happy to eat my pasta on a red and white checkered tablecloth. Because if I spill anything, it doesn't show. You know, it's, I always thought that's how the red and white checkered tablecloth tradition got started.
Could be.
Now, if you're buying a meal, which most everybody are, obviously, you purchase that. But there's no admission charge
Correct.
At the
there
door.
There isn't any admission charge.
Mm-hmm. What about for the entertainment, like for the Sinatra tribute gentlemen?
No, we're very grateful and appreciative of our band sponsors and our stage sponsors and also our shop sponsors, because that way we can bring the very best of entertainment to our hall.
Are some of these cookies, which you have, I can't believe how you're tempting me with this magnificent plate of cookies. Will some of these be available? Are these like some of the
Absolutely.
Offerings that will be available there?
There are all kind of varieties. They keep coming in, and the ladies keep putting the trays together, and we sell them individually as well.
Do you see these, Father Harry?
They're delicious, Dave.
Wow. Wow, man, oh, man. Now, this looks like a... almost a biscotti type cookie
Correct.
Here,
That's
right?
That's what it is.
I'm showing off my limited knowledge of Italian heritage here. Biscotti, which is kind of a hard biscuit, I guess, right?
You get an A+, and that's right.
That's probably the only one I could identify here. Oh, except for that strawberry in the middle. That's nice. And this is, it looks like a pizza.
Yes.
Yeah? Now, is that Italian as well?
It is. That almost looks like what they call a galette. The pizzelle is just a little bit thinner than those.
Don't we all wish? Are you a cookie maker, a baker, Linda?
Actually, I am. I have made some homemade Italian bread for tomorrow and some caramel pecan cinnamon rolls and some regular cinnamon rolls.
All right. Do you come from an Italian family yourself, Linda?
Well, my grandmother came, her family from Italy, and my father was Italian and German. And my mother's side is more like Polish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of mixture of both of their cultures, and it's nice.
Now, you said it was your grandmother who came from?
Yes, my grandmother, her mother would have came from Italy.
So this was, Father Harry, this is like you were talking about earlier, a lot of these immigrants who came to the United States in the early 20th century, early 1900s, they didn't speak English well. Now, they quickly assimilated, but to go to church, they would be more comfortable in an Italian ethnic parish.
And that's what it was all about, I think, when they found came over by the Marinero, and then, like I said, 1909 they started, and it wasn't all that long before they went down to Spring Street, and they purchased the old Methodist Church down on Spring Street, and they were there for a good number of years, and then they got the, which was called the Boyd property, which currently the church and school hall is on. They purchased that property and decided to build the church and the school, and the convent followed after that, the church was dedicated in 1952. I think it was finished in 1950. They bought the property in 1947. They bought the property, but also they bought 31 acres up on Freeport Road in 1940, and that's where the cemetery is. So they really were knowledgeable of this would be something that they really wanted to do a number of things, to have a place where the loved ones could bury their dead. So they bought the property for the cemetery. They bought the Boyd property so they could have a bigger church and have the school building and the convent where the sisters were at one time. So there really was a lot of to keep it right there on the south side. Mm-hmm. They felt that's where where their roots were, and that's where the spirit of the people was, and so they made sure everything was right there on the south side, which is beautiful.
It really started from scratch, too.
Correct.
And accomplished all of this in fairly short order.
Yeah. Right.
Have you been a member of St. Michael's Parish for a long time, Linda?
Oh, yes, a very long time.
Now, notice I'm being very general here. I don't want any specific years, but...
That's good. I was baptized in the church on Spring Street, and then I was the first class to be confirmed at the new church.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Very nice.
Wow, wow. It's a beautiful church inside. It has, for folks who have never been in there, it has, it's not a unique altarpiece, but you don't see it in a lot of churches. It's kind of like a almost a small roof over the altar. You see it a lot. I guess this makes sense. You see it a lot in Italian churches. There's a big one at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome.
Correct, Dave. Yes.
Yeah, that's very nice. I don't know of any other churches around here that have one of those, right off the top of my head. Oh, very nice. We'll take a break. We're talking, by the way, this weekend. I hope I mentioned that. Yeah, we did. It's tomorrow and Sunday for the Festa Italia at St. Michael the Archangel Parish here in Butler. One of our sponsors on the program today is Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Miller's Shoes, what a tradition. They've been here probably as long as Father Marinaro. Longer than that. They're going on 125 years, for goodness sakes. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. That's tradition. Folks, they are your headquarters for, I don't know whether you've ever tried SAS Comfort Shoes. They are absolutely fantastic. I can remember we took my mom in there once. She had heard about them and she wanted to try them. Miller's Shoes, your local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes. You should have seen her face when she tried on a pair of those. They're like bedroom, they're shoes, but they feel like bedroom slippers. They're so comfortable. They come in a wide variety of colors and styles for men and women. They even have SAS sandals, which are just as comfortable. And who knows, if this weather keeps up, you may need sandals for a while. Check them out, SAS Comfort Shoes, and they're made in America, too. And there are not very many shoes that are made in the U.S. anymore. You can find them at Miller's Shoes. Also, you'll find trotters, you'll find foam treads, hush puppies, floor shime, and athletic shoes, tennis shoes, all your famous brands at Miller's, all under one roof. Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, Pro-Pep. No need to go to three or four stores. They've got them all. Stop in. Talk to the Ciprians, huh? Yeah. Talk to Jimmy. He'll give you that famous fit, and you'll get that Miller's price, too. 215 South Main Street, downtown Butler, Miller's Shoes. We will continue our conversation right after these words. For so many of us, a loving pet is, well, it's a member of the family, isn't it? If you're looking for a veterinarian you can trust when it comes time for a checkup or treatment for a pet that's ill, consider Suburban Animal Clinic and Dr. Dennis Damon, Route 8 south of Butler, 4 miles south of Butler, right at the intersection of Route 8 South and Thorncrest Drive. Dr. Damon treats small animals, dogs, cats, all small animals, and exotic pets, too. If you have a question about illness, symptoms, shots, a checkup, if you need to talk to someone about concerns with an aging pet or a pet near the end of life, you can trust Dr. Dennis Damon. He loves animals. He's a pet owner himself. Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian at Suburban Animal Clinic. Hours by appointment only, Monday through Saturday. Credit cards are accepted, and he makes house calls, too. Dr. Dennis Damon, Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, 4 miles south of Butler at the intersection of Route 8 and Thorncrest Drive. Phone 287-5289. Welcome back, folks. It's the Friday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. And our guests on this segment are two. Father Harry Bielewitz is here from Butler Catholic Parishes. One of those parishes is St. Michael the Archangel. And also here is Linda Rotman, longtime member of that parish. They're here to fill us in, to remind us that this is the weekend for the Festa Italia at St. Michael, and tell us everything that's going to happen. And we mentioned the food. I'm probably going to mention that again, but you have other, you have food, you have entertainment, you have like little shops, Linda.
Yes, that is correct. We have the theme baskets that we always have, some really, really large and nice ones this year. We have youth activities that including crafts, a selfie station, and cornhole. The JAL, Jesus Alive and Living, youth group that Chris Williams is in charge of, they are donating a Nintendo Switch video gaming system. And after the youth participate in some of these things, then they'll be given a ticket to put their name on, and there'll be a drawing on Sunday for that nice gift. So we're thankful for that. Then we have our Rosary Makers shop, which they have been with us all of these years, and they make rosaries that go all around the world, and they're up to 80,000 rosaries. And it was so nice to get thank you notes from some of the people across the pond. It was very, very nice.
Wow, so they send these all over the world?
Yes, they do.
Wow.
The other things that we have are our Cafe Bistro. When you're talking about food, we have pepperoni rolls they're going to have hot dogs there and coffees. And I think they're going to have some special Italian cookies called Torrells, if you've ever heard of those.
What are those?
They take a long time to make. There's a lot of eggs in them, and you have to twist them a certain way and leave them sit a while. And Patty McCune has made some. So they're going to be for sale back at Cafe Bistro.
Torrells, they're called?
They're called Torrells.
I'm going to remember to check those out. Folks, this is not the place to go if you're on a diet. This is not the weekend to start your diet if you're going to Festa Italia.
That's for sure. And we have an ice cream parlor for the anybody. It's really a popular one as well. We have different kinds of Dairy Queen and hard ice cream, and we make sundaes and cones and whatever you would like there.
It's popular in Italy. I think they call it gelati. Is that right?
Yes,
gelati.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see them all over the place, on the streets, ice cream vendors, you know.
Right, right. I was trying to think what else we have. We have so many different things. Oh, the bakery. I can't forget the bakery.
Here we go again. She's killing me. She is killing me.
There are, oh, my goodness, we have pies and cakes and cookies and candy and about anything that you can bake. It's there. And, oh, it looks so good. Before I came over, the ladies were assembling all of the trays of cookies. And let's see, what else do we have? We already mentioned the Ristorante and all of the stuff we'll have there. We'll also have some salads. We'll have the Caprese salad again. And, of course, our famous love cake for dessert. We will have that at Ristorante, but that's only on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we have different desserts with our spaghetti dinner. Did I miss anything, Father Harry?
I just know we were all part of the other night, the meatballs. So it's spaghetti and meatballs. So.
Oh, okay.
And guess who helped us make the meatballs?
A number of people. I was very happy to help. It was great.
A lot of people, right.
Well, I can tell you somebody's going to help you eat some of them, that's for sure.
And you know what I have to mention? We have a new winery there this year. It would be Star Hill Winery.
I know those people. I say, ooh, yes.
Yes, yeah. They're from Kerwinsville in Clearfield County. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Ken Starr is the person that I had talked to, and they will be there with different kinds of sweet wines and semi-dry wines, and you can have that by the glass. Or you can buy a bottle for your spaghetti dinner. You can buy a bottle Saturday for your a la carte things.
Ken's been on the program with me before.
Nice.
Yeah.
We were talking
about the explosion, really, of regional wineries. It wasn't all that long ago that he bought wine from New York or California. Never from around here.
Right. And you know what? We are having a People's Choice Contest, and it's going to be bruschetta this year. And different parishioners will bring in their bruschetta. You won't know whose it is. And then you can come by and sample all the different samples, and then you can vote on the one that you like the best.
Now, for people who aren't of Italian heritage, what's bruschetta?
Bruschetta is, you can either use the Italian bread or the little long French loaves, mm-hmm. and you slice those, and you put olive oil on them, sometimes garlic, and you toast them in the oven. And then after that, you make what we call the bruschetta part that really has the tomatoes. There's tomatoes in it, fresh basil in it, salt and pepper, I believe. And what am I missing? Something. Onion. Oh, yes. Real thinly chopped onion. It's delicious. And there's different kinds. There are sweet kinds, too, but this is basically the Italian bruschetta.
So there'll be a contest to vote for your favorite bruschetta. Is that the deal?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's about it.
I better fast before I go over there.
I think I've mentioned anything.
Have to wheel me out in a wheelbarrow.
I would like to mention that Barbara and Jim Dorenzo and Larry and I have done this festival since it started. And we have a wonderful group of people in the kitchen, people that help us on the floor, that do the decorating. We're very fortunate that we have such a good group to help us. I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Festa Italia, which is this weekend, tomorrow, and Sunday at St. Michael the Archangel Parish on Butler's South Side, Center Avenue. If you don't know where that is, ask anybody when you get into Butler. It's very easy to find. It's just on the south side. You go across Wayne Street Viaduct, and you're there, practically. Lots to eat. Just to review, if you weren't with us at the beginning, tomorrow it's... we have a wide variety of selections. You kind of like go through a cafeteria line and you pick what you want, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. But on Sunday, it's spaghetti and meatballs.
Yes, and salad and dessert.
Yeah, of course, but spaghetti and meatballs is the main entree.
Right.
Yeah, and you open the doors on Saturday, tomorrow at
noon.
Noon. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what about on Sunday?
And Sunday is noon as well.
Okay. And you'll go to late afternoon, early evening.
6 o'clock on Sunday, 9 o'clock on Saturday.
Until you run out of pasta or bruschetta or both. Wow. This is, I've learned a little bit about Italian heritage. This sort of a festa was often held in even small Italian villages. Almost all of them had a central piazza. You know, in the center of town, we would call it a town square or something. And they gathered there for these sometimes impromptu, sometimes big gatherings. Sometimes they did it on particular feast days, Father Harry. They would be, and you see this depicted in movies a lot.
Right.
Yeah. And everybody had a good time. Yeah. Well, I think you'll have a pretty good time either tomorrow or Sunday. Or you could go both days. Nothing wrong with that. There's no admission charge. At St. Michael the Archangel. St. Michael the Archangel. Let's see. Archangels. There was Gabriel, right, who announced the coming of the Christ child, an archangel. Michael, we know, since we have St. Michael the Archangel. Raphael. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was the other one that's named. Yeah. Archangels. They were like lieutenants in the angel fold.
Well, they all had special roles, yes.
Special roles, okay. Yeah. Not necessarily rank, but special roles. Messengers.
Correct.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for
having us.
Nice time. We need to take a quick break. We'll say goodbye to our guests. I wanted to go over a couple of more things with them, but I almost forgot. I have to do the lottery numbers. Pat Parker's telling me on the other side of the glass. The lottery numbers, you idiot. Okay, we'll check those, and we'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for today. The pick 2 is 9595. The pick 3, 626, 626. The pick 4, 7755. And the pick 5, 26231. Wild ball for each of those is 1. And the treasure hunt, 7, 8, 14, 17, and 24. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $30,000.
Festa Italia at St. Michael the Archangel tomorrow and Sunday. This will be the ninth year for this event. Wonderful, fun time. Lots of food, lots of entertainment, and lots of good times. Thank you so much for these cookies.
You're welcome.
This is totally unnecessary, but much appreciated. I feel like one of Pavlov's dogs just looking at them there. Hey, coming up on Monday, folks, it's a book talk day. Okay, we do this once a month. Almost always on the fourth Monday, but we have a wonderful book to discuss. I had not heard of it before. It was selected by the folks at Prospect Community Library. They'll be here to talk about it and discuss it. It's called Killers of the Flower Moon. It's the story of the Osage Indians. I wasn't familiar with them. They were in Oklahoma. This is one of those tragic stories where these Native Americans, this tribe, was forced off their land, and they said, we're going to send you to, they sent them to Oklahoma, this barren landscape. It was nothing. It was rocky. It was dry. They couldn't grow anything there. But it turned out there was oil underneath their reservation. And then they got cheated out of that. I mean, it's just a tragic, tragic story. And there's some real sadness in it, some killings and everything else. It's a fabulous story, and it's no novel. This is true. Killers of the Flower Moon. We'll talk about it on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR, along with some other stuff as well. Oh, yes. Also on Monday, we continue our series of chatting with the top administrators from various school districts around the region. We'll chat with Eric Ritzert on Monday. Eric is the superintendent of the Carn City area school district. So that'll pretty much complete the Northern cycle, I think, here, right? Because we've already talked with the superintendent at Slippery Rock and Manitow. Over the next few weeks, we'll do all of them here on the program. So thanks for being with us this week. We've covered a number of wonderful topics. We thank our earlier guests, too, Tyler Gum, and also Pat Collins, the director of the Historical Society. Don't forget, their new calendar is out for 2018. Have you ever seen this, Linda? These things are fabulous. For 2018, it's then and now. Pictures of businesses in Butler, many of them on Main Street. that are still there and what they looked like 100 years ago. It's really, really neat. Okay, have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday. I'm Dave Malarkey for It's Your Turn here on WISR 680 in Butler.
By now, you've heard us talking about how you can get your local news, sports, and weather, and listen to your favorite Butler radio station through any Amazon Alexa device. Here's your chance to win an Amazon Echo and see for yourself what all the excitement is about. All you have to do is visit butlerradio.com, just like you normally do for all your local news. While catching up on the latest news, keep your eye out for a picture of an Amazon Echo Dot. There are five of them scattered through the pages of butlerradio.com. Once you've found all five, use the link on the homepage to submit those locations. Entry deadline is 8 p.m. September 24th. We'll announce our winner on Monday, September 25th. For complete details and to enter, visit butlerradio.com.
This is Butler's hometown radio station, where local news is number one with the expanded report on the news at noon every day, only on Butler County's news, sports, and talk station, WISR, 680 AM Butler.